That sound was unreal. Somebody was asking me what it was.
If I could call a order, call a meeting to order, please. Just a bit of housekeeping beforehand. If anyone has any electronic devices, if you could turn them off, we would appreciate it. It will affect our sound system, so we'd appreciate if you turn your phones and any other electronic devices you may have off. I'd like to call for a moment of silence, please. Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Sheriff, sure, we could have roll call, please.
Charlie Hawkins.
Here.
Dennis Oleson.
Here.
Perry Robinson.
Here.
Steve Lawrenson.
Here.
Clark Cotner.
Here.
Bonnie Onion and Paul Greeno have both requested to be excused tonight.
Could I have a motion for Paul, please?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor for
Aye.
I think we have a motion for Bonnie being excused.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, all in favor for Bonnie being excused?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, motion carried. Okay, the next item on the agenda is recognition and awards. Is David Gallion here?
Yep.
There he is. David, if you could come forward, please.
Say. Well, really.
Next item is the Blaine Builder Award for the Community Meals of Blaine.
Becky and Katie here.
Community Meals Program is a nonprofit meals program umbrella under the Blaine Community Assistance Program. Their mission is to meet the physical, social, and emotional needs of the community by providing weekly meals in a warm and caring environment. The current co-directors of the program are Becky Grasher and Katie Hollis. Community Meals of Blaine became as the Blaine Community Soup Kitchen in 2011 by a small group from several local churches whose vision was to provide a free weekly meal to those in need of our community. The first meals were prepared and served by volunteer groups at the Blackberry House Cafe. When the Blackberry House changed ownership, the meal program was in need of a new location and moved to the Blaine Senior Center, where they started preparing and serving their second year of meals on September the 4th. The larger kitchen and facility has allowed the program to grow from serving around 20 meals a week to between 80 to 100 meals. The program is not just for those who are in need of a free meal, but encourages the meal program to be a gathering place for the community and to meet and share a meal together. There are 10 groups, including local church groups, volunteer groups, as well as friends, who have gathered together for a total of 200 volunteers who rotate through each Wednesday to plan, purchase, prepare, and serve the weekly meal. They also serve every Wednesday night at the Blaine Senior Center at 5 p.m. Anyone is welcome to come, serve, and eat. There's always room for more. The city appreciates all the volunteer contributions to provide this valuable service to the community. Your efforts are building a better Blaine, both now and for the future. And thank you, Becky and Katie. You're doing a wonderful job, and it is very appreciated for all the people in the country. The next item on the agenda is the Yard of the Week Committee, and we have certificates of appreciation. Debbie Harger, are you going to lead us out on this one? Okay, terrific.
Thank you for all you do.
In the summer, spring and summer season, starting in May through August. So we'll be doing this next year. Hopefully, we'll see you guys back as well. Thank you, Debbie. The next item on the agenda is audience participation. And we have a sign-up sheet. Ron, we'll give you the opportunity to speak on the item that you are going to address. We have Eric Davidson. Eric, are you in the audience? Eric, if you would step forward, please state your name for the record and your address, please.
My name's Eric Davidson, and I live at 590 G Street here in Blaine. And I'm here representing the Leonard Streets Neighborhood Association and Crime Watch. And I want to thank everybody for their time. And I want to start, I want to talk about a public work project, but before I do, I want to thank Chief Hasclub and the police department for proactive work they've been doing in our neighborhood. We've had some problems in the neighborhood, and we as a organization have gotten together and tried to have been proactive to work through that along with the police department. I just want to thank them very much for everything they've done for us. So thanks, Chief. But what I want to address for my group today is our sidewalks on the 500 block of G Street. We have sidewalks that are in great need of repair. They're not just cracked, they're busting apart, and I don't have pictures at this time, but my plan is to get pictures for the next council meeting. I just wanted to make sure that at some point it was on the radar for the public works budget going forward, because they're in great need of repair, and there have been individuals who've lived on our street for 20 years who have seen them deteriorate, and no work has been done to it. So I wanted to address that issue at this time.
Thank you, sir. So. Is there anyone from the planning public works that would like to comment? Or
I can comment now or our staff report, whichever.
Okay. Whatever you prefer, Raven.
I've been in conversation with Eric probably last month or so. What I've communicated to him is that on our six-year TIP that you approved last May, I believe, we included in our six-year street improvement plan an annual sidewalk safety program, and it is our intention to ask for that in the 2014 budget.
Director, if you'd like to bring it back at a later date, some pictures will be...
That'd be great. I just want to make sure that wherever we decide we need to land, you know, we collectively decide where our street needs to land, it's appropriate. We don't want to... If we're the worst, we want to be first, and if we're not the worst, we want to be where we need to be. So thank you guys very much for
your
time.
We really appreciate you bringing that forward. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Next item on the item is audience participation by Bruce Wolf and Christy Galbraith regarding the Vigil and Pacific Arts Association. Bruce and Christy, would you like to come forward? Please be kind enough to state your name and addresses for our record, please.
Christy Galbraith, 3913 Pipeline Road, Blaine.
Bruce Wolf, 9094 Pintail Loop, Blaine.
Christy?
Well, we wanted to come here this evening to show you a mock-up of an interpretive plaque for the vigil, which Michael has up on the screen. And we think that would be a welcome addition for all the visitors to Blaine to know the story of the vigil. They go there now. You see a lot of people taking pictures, and they ask, what is this? So we are working on this, and also you'll notice there are years, and we have a spot there to recognize donors who give $1,000 or more to the Blaine Jazz Camp and Festival. And the sale of the bricks and plaques has been an ongoing project and fundraiser for the Blaine Jazz Camp for a number of years, and also a way for people to take their place in Blaine history. So,
well, since the vigil has been there, there's been one major thing missing, and it's been very frustrating for me, the interpretive plaque. This beautiful interpretive plaque was written with a combination of Bob McDermott, the sculptor, and Jane Hootford, a really well-known Icelandic person. They wrote this beautiful story which I hope you can all read. It's a tribute to the women that stay behind, and we think it's the first, maybe the only fishing memorial in the world that honors women. And it's a really powerful thing, and the story needs to be said. And I've really wanted to get this up for a long time, so I'm so excited to do it. I've met now with Mike and Raven, and we formulated a plan. It's quite large. It's going to be dramatic. It's going to be easy to read. So, if Harry, if Jan Brookfield, the vigil, it will sit approximately this far back, approximately at this height, like this. And so people will be able to stand there. That's a good viewing position for the vigil statue. They'll be able to stand there. They can read about it, why these women are being honored and the child is waterfed. And it's also an opportunity to raise money for the Jazz Festival, which has been going on now for 10 years. The money only goes for scholarships for kids that can't afford to come. So it's the most worthy cause. If we fill all these dates, it doesn't show it there. Oh, you made it larger. The plan would be then to go down the front and we could add more dates, you know, so it's go on for many years. If the Jazz Festival continues like we hope it will. In fact, it's growing. The Jazz Festival is expanding now into things other than jazz with Martin Krusman. Everyone knows Martin Krusman, and he's a big part of it, and we're doing other kinds of music. So with that, any questions by the council?
Yeah, one. Which side of the statues are you going to place this? The west
side?
That's
a good question. It could be either way, but it seems most appropriate to put it on the water side.
Yeah.
So we're facing. So that's kind of the tentative plan. We kind of decided that. Michael was there with Christy and I, and we talked to Raven about it as well. So that's hopefully the pedestal, the city can provide the funds, and we've discussed this with Raven and Michael, to make it appropriate and beautiful. It's the center of our town. We want it to really, really show off our town. So that's the object here, is to get first approval for it, and then to direct the city to research the pedestal. Any other questions?
Bruce, any idea when you'd like to get this done?
Soon. We have the money right now to do it. Okay. We've already raised money, and so we have the money to do it. It's an expensive drawing, but it'll be an ongoing profit, hopefully, too, for scholarships for kids. Which, yes.
Go ahead.
Does the pedestal need to be in bronze, or is it going to be stainless? Or what is
it's going to be exactly like all the other bronzes, and it's bronze. Just like it looks, it, this is done by International Bronze, which is one of the biggest bronze companies in the U.S. And this is a recommendation. We talked to Michael Brown about this as well. This background does not turn green and age as quickly, so it's much easier for care. Also, it's a beautiful background because the writing stands out.
I mean,
so, but it is all bronze.
The mounting, we talked about building the mounting.
You mean the pedestal?
Yeah.
The pedestal will be decided by the city. Michael Brown and Raven will discuss that. We're talking about a block of granite as a possibility, or concrete to match the pressed brick. I think the council would have an input. Maybe even the Parks Department might have an input on how it's done. We don't care how it's done at all, as long as it looks good. It's important that it fits with the whole project.
Thank you, Bruce and Christy. Appreciate it very much.
So what I'm asking for is an approval by the council to go ahead with this, so we can go ahead and order the bronze. So if we could get a vote on that tonight, that would be appreciated.
So we'll need a vote or just a...
Michael, do you want to make a comment?
I just would suggest, sir, that you, the council, refer to the Park and Cemetery Board to kind of work out the details on how it works and how it happens, but it would be, I guess, good to get some sense of whether council is supportive or not before we go there.
Okay. You want to do that later on or right now? I don't think you're going to have anybody with a negative point of view from this council. So, no. Let's proceed as soon as we possibly can.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
We don't need anything official per se. We'll take it to the Park and Cemetery Board, and they'll address the details of it. If for some reason we find we need to come back for a council decision, we'll do that.
Okay. Appreciate that. Written communications, Sherry.
We haven't received any.
Have not received any. Wow, that's amazing. Okay, consent agenda. I need a motion for approval of bills in the amount of $219,004.29 and approval of the September 9, 2013 council meeting minutes.
So moved.
I'll second it.
Any other questions or comments?
Yeah, one.
Okay, Dennis?
On the Faber construction, there's one on the first page, but two-thirds of the way down. And then on the second page, there's one to People's Bank Faber. Is that the total?
That's the retainage. The People's Bank, that's the retainage amount. So it's held by People's Bank until the project is completed.
Dennis, are you satisfied with the answers? Any other questions or comments? Call for the vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. How many of those? 5-0. Next item is the council action items. First item on the agenda is appointment to the Planning Commission. We had a study session which we interviewed the two candidates for the Planning Commission. Anyone care to make a motion?
Do we need a separate motion for each person?
Sherry, what do you say?
One person can make a motion, and it's seconded and voted, and if that fails, then a motion would be made to the second person.
I move we nominate Ken Ailey for the Planning Commission.
Okay, do we have a seconder?
I couldn't hear him.
He made a motion that we accept Ken Ailey as the Planning Commissioner. Clark has seconded. We have a motion on the table. Any questions or comments regarding motion? I'll call for the vote. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion will carry 5-0. Sherry, therefore, Mr. Ely will be appointed to the Planning Commission, and I would ask that you, are you going to be the one that will pass that comment along?
I will. Thank you, Mayor.
I was going to suggest that we tell Stephen that we certainly appreciate his interest in being on the Planning Commission.
Here.
Oh, Stephen, you're still here? Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, Stephen. I didn't see you there. Stephen, we really do appreciate you volunteering to being on the Planning Commission. I think you would make an ideal Planning Commissioner, and I would hope that you will continue to have an interest in serving on the Planning Commission, and that you bring your name forward if there are any future vacancies. We appreciate it very much. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is the wastewater conveyance project completion. Raven, is that yours?
Yes, it is. Thank you, Mayor. Normally, when we do a project completion, we bring it to you, and it's in your consent agenda, and we don't really talk about it very much. But this project and its completion is probably one of the more significant projects that Blaine will have. And so we pulled it and wanted to talk a little bit about it just for a moment. This was a three-phase project that included the original construction of the plant. The second phase was bringing the reclaimed water line up Semiahmoo Parkway, and then the final phase was literally the line across the harbor as well as the reclaimed pump station. The sequence of that three-phase project included multiple engineering disciplines with primary services from four different engineering consultants: Brown and Caldwell, who is the prime that had many sub-consultants, Wilson Engineering, Tetra Tech for the pipeline, and then, of course, Harris Group did the inspection. Three different contractors worked on the project. Again, as prime, there were many subcontractors. Those were Stellar J, Kohler Curcio Brothers, and Voss Construction. We had over $35 million amongst all the phases, with the last phase with Voss Construction being completed at $1.8 million per your request for council action. And I wanted to take this opportunity, and if you have an opportunity to congratulate her, to congratulate Carla Flaming, who is our senior accountant, who did the vast amount of that grant administration and continues to do so. So with that, turn it back over to you. We'd like to close out the project and give Boss their retainage back.
Thank you, Raven. Is there any questions for Raven?
I move we accept the West Plain Wastewater Conveyance project as complete.
Your seconder.
Second.
Seconded by Charlie. Is there any questions or comments regarding the motion? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Next item on the agenda is the Adelia Street vacation petition. And Bill, is that going to be your baby?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We have, this item is for a vacation request we received to vacate a north portion of Adelia Street between Blaine Avenue and Garfield.
Sorry, I'll just do this.
Blaine Avenue and Garfield. The purpose of this request is to either deny the request or set a public hearing to consider the vacation further. And what we're just going to go over is I have a vicinity map, summary of the petition, and then what our preliminary findings and recommendations are. Real quick, this is in yellow on the aerial photo is the block that the vacation is being requested on, and then the little inset is a little more detailed from the proposal itself. You have in your packets the proposal application as well as the preliminary findings from Public Works. And so what we're talking about is the northerly 11 feet of of the right-of-way in this one section. Next slide. So some of the position has been, like I said, asked to we vacate the northerly 11 feet of the one block of Adelia Street, although it's primarily the petitioner's owns block 6, from what I understand, and block 5 is a signatory on the petition. But this strip of right-of-way is about 1,500 feet, and it leaves 9.5 feet behind the sidewalk is what their proposal is. And the main gist of the application is that they would like to take this lot that's about 10,500 square feet in size. It falls just short of being able to subdivide into two pieces. With this vacation, they would have enough to make two 6,000 square foot lots. on the petition, the proposal of the benefits given by Mr. Freeman, who's making the proposal, is basically they're largely short-term benefits of, you know, receiving fees or taxes or whatever from being able to build two lots instead of one, and very little physical benefit to the city itself for what this vacation would provide. Preliminary findings. Preliminary findings 1 and 3. These are the four findings we make on a preliminary investigation as per code. One is a quick te- test on whether it abuts water body of any kind. That doesn't apply in this case, and it's not correct. Correcting a condition created by the applicant, what that is if there's an encroachment of some kind, like a building, and we're trying to clean that up, similar to one of the examples I showed you at the workshop 2 weeks ago. But those, neither of those apply. What we have here is that this is one that's an open and active right-of-way on Adelia Street, and we do have potential use for the right-of-way for future utilities or other public uses or potential. And then the fourth one, one of the aspects of our vacation code is that it maintains continuous lines of right-of-way for at least one block. This petition does that because we have applicants. The applicants on the petition or the signatories on the petition do cover the entire block. However, you know, we have a standard right-of-way width on Adelia of 80 feet, and it's continuous for the entire road or the entire street. There are no other vacations on this street, and this would, for this one block, create a substandard section of right-of-way. And so for those two main reasons, at this point in time, the staff is recommending denial of this particular petition. So the process from here, staff is recommending denial, but the other portion of this is that you could go to a public hearing. You do have two sample motions in your packet, depending on what you'd like to choose. And basically, then that would kick us into a more detailed staff report as per code, and then it also would then bring another decision by the council opportunity to either approve or deny. And just as kind of an aside, as we talked about this with staff, we have a quick summary of what applicants' costs would be. Costs for the public hearing and administrative costs, and then, of course, appraisal and recording fees, a legal review, and then the property value according to Blaine Municipal Code is what this process would, those are the costs that the applicant would pay for through this process. And then I guess I'll open it for questions, and I have a couple other pictures of the property and things if that's of interest to the council. But do I have any, Bill, can I answer any of your questions?
Can I make a suggestion? I know the petitioner, Mr. Freeman, is here, and he would like to comment.
Sure.
I was wondering if we would like to withhold questions until we've heard from Mr. Freeman. Freeman, are you prepared to make your remarks? If you need help.
You're too young to be wearing this.
This is the sympathy vote. It's
out of trees.
This is my routine for the next few months. So.
Okay.
Thank you. So Public Works has submitted their finding and I think recommended denying the application without any further input or a public hearing. The reason I'm here today is because, you know, I would like the city to not deny the petition, to let it go for a public hearing so that you can consider all of the relevant information before making a decision. The preliminary findings by Public Works Department report addresses the criteria within Blaine Municipal Code 12-16-010. The code lays out the rules that we both must follow before a decision is made. Criteria 2, and I'm not sure if it was on the same line that they showed above, but on the packet I received, the staff recommends denial based on the assumption that the vacation would limit the city's right to extend or maintain utilities in the vacated portion of the road. However, Blaine Municipal Code requires that the city retain all utility easement rights within the vacated portion of the land, so the net result is really zero. I think that reason for denial is really shouldn't be considered because you do retain the easement rights within that portion. There's no difference whether you own it or whether it's vacated. You have the right to run the utilities in that area. As the adjoining property owner, myself, my responsibility is to maintain the property from its boundary all the way to the sidewalk, and that's what we're doing now anyway. In regards to the criterion 4, the staff report acknowledges that the proposed vacation satisfies the criteria that the vacation will maintain or create a straight, continuous right-of-way line on at least one side of a full city block, but the report then enters a criteria 4 and 2, Blaine Municipal Code 12-16-010, that the vacation maintain a straight right-of-way width. The report recommends denial Based on that, we were required to make application for the full block. As a proposed vacation is to be judged against the criteria within Blaine Municipal Code, the justification contained in the staff report under Criterion 4 cannot be used for a basis of denial of the proposed vacation, as its justification is outside of the Blaine Municipal Code. So, seeing that the proposed vacation does in fact satisfy those criteria used in the staff report, where does that leave us? We're left to decide whether the proposed vacation is a public benefit. So would granting the vacation result in the net public good? Remember, the question is not whether the purpose of the vacation is for public benefit. Our purpose, of course, is to build two affordable, attractive homes on the lot. The question is instead whether, as a consequence of this vacation, that there's a net public benefit. The Public Works Department has determined that the request would result in little or no public benefit. It should be, by that judgment, recognized that the income generated by our project through the collection of more property tax, excise tax, sales tax from the construction are of little to no benefit to the public. That the collection of permit fees, utility fees, connection fees as a result of the project are of no or little benefit to the public. That the ongoing collection of monthly utility fees are of no benefit to the public. The ongoing continual payment of real estate tax from now and forever is of no benefit to the public. If you've seen the property, you've probably noticed an old derelict burnout house there. This is a perpetual eyesore that we want to remove and replace with two attractive new homes. This is the opinion of staff that none of these things are a benefit. I think as a council you need to step back and say to yourself, no matter how little it is, it's a step forward. There is a benefit. It may be short term, but even a benefit of having a family come in and live there and support our community in itself is a benefit. All of them are little, but you add that up over and over and over again, and there is a big benefit to this community as we see it grow. I'd like to be able to expand on the benefits of the street vacation by having a public hearing and having a chance to do that. A few things I'd like to just bring to your attention. This property was platted 123 years ago. And it was at a time where land use policies, and even an owner's desire was much different than it is today. If this property were platted today, the city would not require an 80-foot street. It's just not done. If it were platted today, the property pins would be placed at the sidewalk, not encroached 20 feet into the yard that the property owner maintains. It's not done that way. Adelia Street right now, for those of you that have driven down or taken a look at it, is a fully improved street. The streets there, the curbs there, the sidewalks there, the utility easements that are maintained in the property is there. The physical footprint of this property, far, and I want to emphasize that, the physical footprint of this property far exceeds the minimum standards for that zone for two single-family lots. An 80-foot street made sense 123 years ago for who knows why. But today, that would not be what you would approve. Growth management requires that cities look at ways to create infill and to meet housing needs. This street vacation accomplishes that goal without jeopardizing the minimum requirements set in the SF1 zone. So I'm asking you not to deny this request based on the staff report, but to call for a public hearing, hear all the information, and then make a final decision. So I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ron. I appreciate it. Now, Ron, before you go,
sure.
Maybe you want to just sort of stand by there in case any of the commissioners have any questions for you or for Bill.
Okay.
Do I have any questions?
It's mostly for the staff. My question is.
Okay, Charlie, would you like to address the staff?
It seemed like to me that for the last quite a few years, the policy of the city has been not to give up the right-of-way for private benefit. Seems like to me this is just going against what's been the accepted way of doing things in the city for the future. And it seems like to me if we approve this, we're opening up a can of worms that there is no stopping, because once we give him whatever, how many feet, 5 feet, 10 feet, what's to say that I have own property on Harrison Street and Cedar Street.
well, I want 20 feet. And you tell me, well, you can't have 20 feet? I mean, you're opening up a can of worms with this proposal that I don't think we want to do. So that's my opinion on it. Okay.
Does anyone like to comment from the city?
I think you are correct. 80 feet is a very typical urban right-of-way and city street right-of-way, and very typical width. As far as it being a completed street, well, as of right now, it does have many elements of being a completed street. In the future, couldn't tell you what we want to do, but it will probably be reconstructed in the future someday. And whether we go to a street standard, for instance, that requires a 5-foot buffer between the sidewalk and back a curb, we are going to be widening the street likely. The other issue, part of the other issue too, is the idea of, yes, we may get an easement over and across different pieces of property vacate anywhere in the city, but to do things solely because of that, easements are inferior to owning it in fee title, and they do take a different level of capability when you're dealing with the right-of-way with an easement versus actual ownership. One of the... One of the examples I showed you at the workshop was this piece on Boblett Street, where, granted, Boblett Street, before we reconstructed it a few years ago, didn't have sidewalks. But you can see this is an example where we do have the appearance of a very wide right-of-way, and then this is the street and the after picture. But then as I walked in towards that corner, we actually have a stormwater feature that's behind the back of sidewalk, which we could potentially need to put in to a place like this where we have available right-of-way behind a sidewalk, where you know, there are times and places in this day and age where we do utilize sections of right-of-way that may appear overly wide or wider than you may otherwise see when you go out there at one particular point in time in the future. You don't really know what you're going to be using it for. And then, so, you know, there are reasons to maintain this right-of-way, and it is, we do have standard 80-foot widths of right-of-way all over the city, and to have one block that actually is less than that, there are different legacy issues with it as well. We also do have electrical utility right now that goes on the very edge of where they're proposing, and if we were to extend that, there are different issues that we do have in this area.
But if I understand what Ron said, it doesn't change your ability to put anything you want there. You could put, still use, is that what you said, Ron?
Yeah, the easement rights are still maintained.
We could have an easement right that goes through there, but an easement right is different than owning the property. It also is for utilities. An example of we don't have the same capability is we may have an easement right to put utilities there, but we don't have an easement right to allow franchise utilities to go there because it's not our property anymore. It's, we only have an easement over and across it. So if cable TV, fiber optic, whatever, how many years ago? It's only 10 years ago we didn't think fiber optic was going to be installed everywhere. Now it is. So it does, we don't have the same capabilities to manage the public right-of-way that we would otherwise have if we just had an easement. And so typically, it is very atypical for jurisdictions in many locations in the state to grant a vacation request like this.
Thank you.
Any other questions or questions? Dennis?
Ron, the lots that are east of the alley, I think they're called lot B and A. Now, those extend back, what, an additional 25 feet beyond
they're,
what you're...
They're an additional 25 feet deep, but they would have the same frontage. They were plotted the same frontage that I'm asking for.
Right.
That's actually west of it.
And the other question is, has there been any public input as to the what was going on in the area?
Right now we're simply following basically the process we have in code, which is to come to council with preliminary findings, in which case the staff either recommends to proceed with setting a date for public hearing or for denial. And what we've done, the staff, with the merits that we can find right now, and what we've investigated, is to recommend for denial, but we're also giving the
council the additional option to explore further if you wish to have a public hearing. You can go either route. It's up to the council's decision.
Any other questions or comments?
Yeah. If you have a public hearing, what kinds of information do you expect to gather that you don't already have?
Well, like what we reviewed in the workshop 2 weeks ago about this process, there's a list of basically seven different main things, but there are, for instance, other vacations in the area that have occurred. We have effects on the surrounding properties and streets, relationship to the existing right-of-way and streets, how the subject property became public right-of-way, the existing utilities and the future need, necessities for retaining easements if vacated. There's a variety of things.
But is there public input that could impact or influence what might happen?
It's a public hearing so that members of the public, whether they are directly tied and related to this vacation or not, will have an opportunity to give their testimony for council's overall consideration and balancing that with the recommendation of the department.
Now, the Salishan neighborhood has quite an active association, and I checked with one of the people today, and they haven't had any discussions about it as far as I could tell.
That's correct, because we haven't advertised for a public hearing to notify the public that we would have a public hearing, because we're not at that point in the process yet.
Any other questions? If you have before us a recommendation, first recommendation is based on the preliminary findings provided by Public Works. We move to request to vacate the portion of Adelia Street between Blaine Avenue and Garfield Avenue be denied. Or another motion as being suggested is that we move to direct the city clerk to set a public hearing and that Public Works do a more detailed investigation to further consider the proposed vacation request. And I will entertain either of those motions.
Could there be a third motion?
Sure.
Since we are missing two members, maybe we could delay any decision on it for until the next meeting.
He wants to delay because of the two council members that are not here. He would like to delay so that they could have some opportunity to provide input. Do you care to make a motion to that effect, Dennis?
I move that we delay any action on the request until a later date.
Do you want it on the agenda for the next meeting or just a later date?
The agenda for next meeting.
Is that a seconder for that motion? Hearing none. Does anyone else care to make a motion?
I'd like to make a motion that we set up a public hearing.
Second that.
Okay, that motion is on the table. Any other comments or questions regarding the motion to set a public hearing? Hearing none, I'll call for a vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries 5-0. Therefore, we'll ask the public clerk to set a public hearing and that she will determine that date, I think. Is that correct, Sherry?
Yes, I will work with staff on that to come up with a good date for that.
Okay. Appreciate that. Okay, the next item is Ordinance 13-2838, the Energy Conservation Project Delegation Bond Ordinance. And I assume that Jeff is going to direct us on that.
That's correct, Mayor. So you have in your packet the ordinance. However, you received it on Friday. There's been some last-minute changes to the ordinance. So we're going to pass out a clean version and a black lined version for you.
Okay.
There were some changes between our bond attorney and the lender's bond attorney. And I've asked our financial advisor on this deal David Tragesser to come and explain it to you, and he's going to come and give you the details on the financing.
David, could I ask you a favor?
Yes, sir.
We'd like to get another cup of coffee, if you don't mind. So,
you betcha.
While we're handing this out, I'm going to grab one.
Harry.
Yes, sir. This one's empty.
Yeah, there we go.
What we have.
Save any of this stuff?
I've always wanted to.
I'd like to add that David also worked with us on the financing for the Banner Bank building.
Please feel free to go ahead.
Hey, good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm Dave Tragesser, Senior Vice President with BA Davidson. I have the pleasure of acting as financial advisor on this proposed transaction and working with your staff the last 3 or 4 months. Before you tonight for your consideration is the action item, the delegation bond ordinance. And as you may recall, this ordinance provides long-term fixed rate financing for the proposed improvements. It's structured as a limited tax general obligation bond with this pledge also of your sewer utilities for that portion of the project that benefits the sewer utility. It's a 15-year fixed rate financing. This bond ordinance has been prepared by your bond counsel, Foster Pepper, who's worked with the city for a number of years on different bond transactions. And to give you a little recap, we solicited indications of interest from various financial institutions to be a purchaser of this bond. We've been in negotiation with a couple different purchasers over the last few months. Capital One Finance Corp is the recommended purchaser of the bond based on their terms and conditions of the bonds, which are reflected in this bond ordinance. And I'll just hit a few items in this and then answer your questions about the bond ordinance. This is a delegation bond ordinance. By that it means it authorizes the finance director and city manager to do all that's needed to close the bond financing with the bond purchaser, subject to all the terms and conditions that are in this document. To hit a few items of interest, if we go to page 3, section 3, which is the authorization and description of the bond, this is structured as a taxable bond issue, so it's different than your prior bonds that you've issued. It's taxable to comply with federal tax code because we're doing a qualified energy conservation bond. In this particular case, the federal government is pledging to make subsidy payments to you over the life of the bond. And so the bonds are issued on a taxable basis, and then you get the subsidy payments, and the net payments are those that you will make to the bondholder based on those payments coming in. The actual interest rate on the bond is 6.15, and based on the subsidy payments that we expect, the average borrowing cost is about 2.75 for a 15-year fixed rate financing. You're promising to make payments, as noted in Section 3, semi-annually. Interest is paid twice a year. Principal is paid once a year beginning October 15th of 2014. If we go to section 10, the bottom of page 5, that's the actual security, the pledge that you're making to the bondholders. And you'll see that it says pledge of taxes. These are a non-voted general obligation of the city. Then as you read further on the top of page 6, you'll see that you're also pledging to use wastewater revenues to make that portion of the debt service payment. The variety of other covenants in here to comply with state and federal tax law, which have been drafted by your bond counsel. We expect, we have received credit approval from Capital One. They provided a term sheet, which is reflected as to be approved in this bond ordinance. And we have an expected closing date of October 2nd, although that's still to be negotiated
with the participants. One other little bit of information. We did start this process a number of months ago thinking that we'd be considering a municipal lease. We've talked with bond council and other participants based on the feedback from bond council. We structured this as a bond issue rather than a lease. And with that, I'd be glad to answer any questions you may have about the finances.
Is there any questions, gentlemen? I guess the one question that I would have is Capital One Equipment Finance Corp. Were they the only source, or did we examine other finance organizations?
We actually went out and did a request for indicative rates to approximately five or six market participants. Because we're looking at fixed rate 15-year financing, some participants came back and proposed a shorter term, okay, which we didn't want. Other people had various terms and conditions which were deemed to be too onerous by the finance team. So we recommended Capital One as the direct purchaser.
Any other questions for David?
The amounts due, there's a semi-annual payment that starts in April of 2014?
That's correct. The amounts that are noted in the appendix of your ordinance are just summary information for a full year. The actual amounts, you make your first interest payment on April 15th, and your principal interest payment due on October 15th of each year thereafter. And we structured those similar to a mortgage payment, with also assuming the subsidy comes in as expected. And so your total payments are level, payments of approximately $137,500 a year.
And the project itself is to be completed by the end of 2014, is that right?
Yes.
So the savings will start?
Well, the savings, because a lot of this is going to be install and use as you go. You're going to actually see the savings pretty much right away as those things are implemented or the improvements are. We also have the $500,000 grant from the state that can be used effective immediately. They don't require that it be doled out. So there should be no reason why we would be putting out, making loan payments ahead of actually having some money to make them with.
Any other questions? David, thank you.
Thank you, Mayor.
Appreciate it.
I guess one more for Raven.
Yep.
As I understood, the agreement with Johnson Controls, is there somewhat of a kind of a guarantee that those savings are going to be there?
That's correct. Right now, the way that the agreement is structured with Johnson Controls is that the energy savings is guaranteed for all components of the project for the first year. At this point in time, the contract that we have that we'll be bringing to you next with the state actually has that performance guarantee included for all 15 years of the loan for the wastewater component of the project, which is about two-thirds of the project funding. Another element that you might find interesting that's transpired since the last time that we provided you an update is that the amount that the state is contributing to the streetlights has almost doubled. So while the interest rates landed a little higher, what we're actually needed to borrow was a little bit less.
Thanks, Ray.
Any other questions? I guess when I look at Jeff and go, do you support this?
Well,
I mean, you're the guy.
Right.
And we're relying on you. It says it's you anticipate the cash flow from the project savings will be able to cover the debt service.
With a little higher interest rate that we've encountered, the cash flow, at least for the sewer fund, will not be positive until year three. So you should be aware of that. Also, with sequestration, the federal budget, the federal subsidy, that you should be aware that potentially that could go away in the future, too. So there's a couple of items to take into consideration regarding that.
So are you still gung-ho on this?
As long as what Johnson Controls promises in terms of the energy savings and the cash flow that they've projected, then I feel comfortable with that.
Okay. Any other? Yes, Raven.
Oh, I was just going to say that the two gentlemen from Johnson Controls behind me were sharing with me on their ride over to here that this actually is a unusual project to them in the amount of savings that it offers. That most projects are much more at par at the end, whereas our project is generating over that 15-year period about $500,000. And we're going to make sure that they do what's promised, right?
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, if there's no other questions, can we entertain a motion?
I move that the council waive the second reading and approve Ordinance 132838 to provide funds necessary to finance energy conservation improvements to city facilities.
Your seconder?
Second.
Charlie seconds. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Chair, the motion will carry 5-0. Next item on the agenda is the Energy Conservation Project Agreements. Do we want to handle those one at a time, or do you want me to read them all now?
We packaged those for you at a convenience, but I believe that, Sherry, do you want them to move each one individually?
Our discussion was the same as what you did with the other grouping. They either have to all go or none at all.
Oh, yes. They are
packaged together?
They are packaged in that you can't approve one and not the other, but okay. How you go about it in one motion or separate motions, A, B, and C, is entirely up to you.
I will read them off then. A is the Interagency Amendment Number 1 with the Department of Enterprise Services for Project Management Fees. The B is the Washington State Department of Enterprise Services Funding Approval for Design Implementation and first year measurement and verification for the GCI project. And C is the Washington State Department of Enterprise Services funding approval for ESCO contract for GCI project. Okay, everybody understand that?
Friendly amendment, Mr. Mayor, that would be JCI for Johnson Controls.
GCI,
yeah.
Project Controls?
It's Johnson Controls, Inc., so that's you were reading GCI, unless I'm reading something different than you are.
So is it GCI?
JCI.
J. Did I say G?
Yeah.
That's what happens when you get old.
It's okay.
JCI. Okay. Thank you for the correction. Okay. Council members, we have before us this. Now, staff recommends that the council approve the city manager to sign the funding agreements for those three items I just attempted to provide. Are there any questions for Raven?
I move to accept it.
Did you make that motion?
Yes.
Charlie makes the motion that we authorize the city manager to sign the funding agreements for the three items that have been listed. And do we have a seconder? Steve seconds. And are there any other questions or comments anyone wants to make regarding the three funding agreements? Hearing none, I'll call for a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? There are none opposed. So the motion will carry 5-0.
Boy, you're moving.
I know, we're moving right along here, folks. The next is the commission, committee, and board reports. Mr. City Manager.
Good evening, Council. Mayor, so typically you would go through this list and ask for reports individually. I don't particularly have a report listed here. We are going to be attending the small cities meeting tomorrow, Tuesday, and would ask that any other members of the group have reports if they so choose to report them.
Okay, with that, let's go through the commission committee and board reports, the Economic Development Advisory Committee. Clark?
No report, but we will have a meeting after the Herbert report Wednesday,
yep.
And you're invited, of course. You're on the list permanently. And that's it.
Okay. And that's Wednesday? You say there's
well, we're having a meeting with Herbert Wednesday
Hebert.
At 1 o'clock. Is that correct?
Hebert on Wednesday?
Hebert, and then I'll put out a notice for the next meeting, which will probably be the following Tuesday.
It's just the working group is going to meet on Wednesday.
Okay.
Yeah. Which doesn't make sense for us to have a meeting before, but that's done.
Okay, super.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now, the Blaine Tourism and Advisory Committee, Steve.
Debbie and I had a meeting on Friday to discuss and get updated on planning for the activity for the tourism meeting. We're going to meet, set up a meeting with David and Jeff as soon as we can to get some more information and have that final schedule and meet over the next couple of weeks.
Okay. How about the countywide economic development? And how about the Boys and Girls Club?
I went and introduced myself and had a short meeting with Joel Todd. Their main focus right now is their annual fundraising event, which takes place on the 28th. It's very important to me. And after that, then we're going to get together when he focuses more on
okay. Bonnie's not here. Jeff, how about the RED loan committee?
No applications.
No report. Paul's not here. Charlie, how about the Drayton Harbor Shellfish Advisory Committee?
I wasn't able to attend the meeting last week, but I'll anything important went on, which no one's done.
Thank you, sir. Library Committee, Dennis.
They had the Icelanders in, so it was good.
Okay. Always good when we have Icelanders. Senior Center Liaison, Dennis.
Yeah, Sheila Clemens is retiring after 9 years, and they're having a get-together on their lunch, which starts at 11:30, and it's on September 27th, which is Friday.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Jones, Planning Commission.
Yes, sir. I just want to mention that the Planning Commission is having a continued meeting on the SEPA code, and it includes two elements. One is just some administrative changes, and the other, probably more interesting, is reviewing some optional thresholds. The state has raised the threshold levels for a variety of development that would be exempt from SEPA review. And the Planning Commission, at staff recommendation, is looking at increasing some of our thresholds. They extended the comment and discussion period on that because they were hoping to have a broader discussion with the public, so people are welcome to attend, of course. And then that in October they will be continuing their discussion on the population allocation, which is something that we've discussed here a little bit about our UGA planning and working with the county. And no report for the Park and Cemetery Board, sir.
Thank you, sir. Law and Justice Council Chief.
There has been no meeting, Your Honor, and so no report.
Okay. Small City Caucus, I believe we have a meeting tomorrow morning. I have no report on the Whatcom Council of Governments, and Chief Hollinger is not here, although he's handing out something. We're handing something out.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Chief.
Did you get one of those cute little badges?
Appreciate it. Do we have any comment on Public Works?
I'll try to be brief with my project update this evening. First, just a brief reminder of our joint work session with the Birch Bay Water and Sewer District Board on water rights on the 7th, October. I don't know if you follow the Bellingham paper, but it's been a lively topic, so I think that our meeting will be timely. Made some pretty significant progress with the PSC service area agreement. I would say we are in agreement. So that's the progress. Now it's a matter of exchanging contracts and attorneys and all that. So that is a pretty significant change, and I'm very happy to say that, based on that, we expect that we'll be able to provide all of our citizens with Blaine power. So that is the goal that we've had all the way through, and we'll be bringing that to you as an agreement for consideration, and in addition, I'll be bringing the actual purchase and acquisition to you for approval in the 2014 budget. The Boblick sidewalk project has just been letting the concrete cure, and we're going to be planting street trees behind the existing or behind the new sidewalk, so you'll be seeing some of that getting cleaned up, I hope, this week. The weather's been a little bit unpredictable, as you know. Our light crew has been working on the Lincoln Road right-of-way in the county, so in case any of your constituents or folks may ask about that, the reason for that is we have a feeder that runs down that right-of-way, and it's become very overgrown, and we want to have access to it in the event we need to maintain it. The ESCO project that you approved tonight, I already alluded that street lighting grant that we have from the state about doubled. That also includes the full replacement of all the streetlights within Semiyama. And so Dave and I are hoping to go to the annual meeting of the Semiyama residents. And my hope is that I'll actually have a product that I can show that will show what the new streetlights will be looking like. It might end up being a picture, but I hope it'll be the physical head of
the light. Is she going to replace all the streetlights in Semiyama?
Yes, sir.
Are they inefficient? Is that the problem?
Right. The street lighting component of the project retrofits all of the street lights in the Blaine service area to LED street lights, and it had one of the most significant energy savings contributions to the project.
Aesthetically, how's that going to look? I got one of the suckers right in my front yard. That's why I'm asking.
I'm going to make sure that one looks especially
good. Thank you very much.
It's a big candle.
It'll be a big shade on it.
They are different looking, and for that reason, that's why I want to bring it to the annual meeting, so everyone will get to see it, and it's not like some big surprise. There are a couple of locations that have them in Ferndale and in Bellingham, but as far as I'm aware, we'll be the first city in Whatcom County to have made the conversion citywide. That's very, very proud of that. And then lastly, believe I missed mentioning this, that the Puget Sound Energy actually has some work they need to do on the Blaine substation. They're going to be putting in a temporary transformer that's going to help that work to happen. We will be notifying our industrial users, but we do not expect any changes in our service. But we just wanted to let people know that if there are any flickers or anything like that we'd be made aware of them. But we are working with Puget Sound Energy on that, and They keep giving us a new date, so I don't have a date specific for you, but I'll keep it on my radar to let you know when I know more.
Any questions? Any questions for Raven? Okay. Jeff?
I am happy to report that the state auditors completed their audit of the city's 2012 financials, as well as a couple of federal programs where we received some federal grant money. And we came with no management letters, no findings, and actually no verbal recommendations at the exit conference, which was a couple of weeks ago. You missed it, Councilor Olison. It lasted maybe 15 minutes. I mean, you've attended those before, and they've been...
No, I want to know, is it true that you guys actually got more money than you... have more money than you really had, knew you had?
Got more money?
I thought they found $12,000 or some number in there.
Wow. You know, they're always... when they're reconciling what we report and what they're... what they show, sometimes it's not worth arguing.
So none of us are going to go to jail. Yeah,
no.
Nobody's going to jail.
This year.
Nobody's going to jail this year. Anyway, the report is hot off the press today, and so I'll pass those out to you.
Appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You and your staff are to be complimented. And the senior public works. I think you guys do a terrific job, is obviously, you know, proved by the audit report.
I think Mr. City Manager, the city should take all the credit.
Mayor and Council, I just have a couple of brief comments. First off, I want to thank Raven for her diligent work on this HESCO project. It's been a challenge to bring this project together and then to get the financing completed, so I just wanted to let you know my appreciation for your efforts and work and all the time you spent worrying about it. And then following that up, we should fully expect that you're going to get comments, concerns, people are going to love you, hate you, about the streetlights. They're going to be different, right? They're LED, they're going to be different. And so we should fully expect, and we should really start talking to the press about these changes that are going to be occurring. Most of it, people are not going to see. It's going to be a pump and a valve and an electronic gizmo going somewhere, but those streetlights are going to be noticed. So we need to really get that out there.
What color will they be? Just bright, bright?
Bright one white? In front of your house or the rest of your house?
Both.
To be determined. It'll probably be the very similar that you see the galvanized most likely. Yep. It doesn't have to be.
Didn't they run some in town earlier?
I was just thinking of that. I think it was before Raven was here. We tested three, I think. Was that when you were here? We tested three at the corner of H and 3rd Street, and they all had different kind of color hues, a little golden, a little pinkish, a little bluish. So there are ranges, apparently. That's probably what they'll work through. But we did see some examples of similar LED lights.
So if we have choice, we might want to revisit that a little bit to make sure there's enough public process that the council feels like they got enough comment so that we're making the right choice relative to the range of choices. So.
Yeah, as I understand it, the TIB, which will be doing all the overhead fixtures around the city, they're going to recommend like a list of different models that meet a spec, and then the Johnson Controls hasn't even been designed yet. So there's still very much an opportunity to get input from the public.
So are we saying that the light standards are going to change, or just the heads on top of it?
The heads.
I mean, with all the decorative ones you just put here on H Street, will they be the same?
The ones on H Street are actually already LEDs. So those are the decorative downtown standard. The TIB is not going to do those. Johnson Controls will, and will just emulate the ones on H Street.
I think they would have gray.
I want pink.
It all begins, doesn't it? Just starting. All right, then the last thing I want to mention is I got a letter from Comcast today. We're going to talk to the press to get the information out. Apparently, we're going to be reviewing the franchise agreement. In November, the Comcast is going to be sending out an encrypted signal to to those people who are connected to their service system, which I'm assuming a lot of people here do. When that happens, some people who are connected, which don't have a control device, a DVR or whatever that might be, will not have the ability to see TV because they're now the signal is now encrypted. So that's a big deal, I think. We have probably many people in the community who just have hooked up and get a basic TV reception, you know, the local channels. Others have, you know, many, many more options, and they pay a full price. But those who don't pay anything may wind up without service. And that's something we want to notify people about so they have the option and move forward. So I wanted you to know that. We'll be working with our franchise agreement to make sure they're compliant with that, and then we'll make sure the public is well notified about it, because I think that will come back to the council potentially. And I want to make sure we're well informed about that. And that's the end of my report.
Thank you, sir.
Any questions or comments? Okay, we're rolling right along here, folks. Any questions on the calendar?
Your Honor, I do have one thing to add. Next Tuesday will be a BTAC meeting at 8 o'clock, from my understanding. So I will add that to the calendar.
Tuesday at 8 o'clock in the morning. And that's Tuesday? What date's that?
October, or is that October 8th? I'm sorry. No, okay, it's October 8th. Thank you.
8 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. What happens then? I didn't hear anything.
There's a BTAC meeting.
Tourism meeting.
Yeah.
Okay. Just check your calendar and make sure you're aware of the dates. Now we're getting on to unfinished business. Clark, do you have some unfinished business?
Yes, I do. I'd like to make a motion that I'd like to move that we reconsider action taken on September the 9th meeting on Ordinance 132835 and minimum density requirement for long subdivisions. I'd like to bring that back.
We would want it on the agenda for the next meeting?
Yes.
Okay. Clark has made a motion to that effect.
Second.
Charlie seconded it. Is there any questions concerning that? Okay, let's call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
So that one, 5-0. So that will be on the agenda for the next meeting. Is that okay with you, Sherry? That'll work. Any council new business? Steve, you wanted to make a comment. Steve has something. Charlie, I'll come right back to you. Steve?
I'm concerned about the lack of air with the blueberry issue and all the time that was spent on the planning commission and staff. I would like to, in the future, have some discussion with the planning commission on whether we're supposed to. I think that amount of time that was spent from the time it was filed until an answer was given to the property owner, I think was too long. And I'm new here, I'm not being critical of anybody. I also feel if the city council had known about it sooner, I think it could have saved a lot of time, valuable time that the planning commission spent on it, that they brought to us a reunion that they were working on. So if that can somehow maybe in the future, I think it's a different meeting that we're going to get with
the treasurer. Try to organize a joint meeting with the Planning Commission. I think before the year end.
It's scheduled October 7th.
We
haven't established the time. I'm sorry, that's Birch Bay, right?
Yeah. Okay. Any other comments you want to make? Okay. Charlie, you had comments that you wanted to make.
One of the person lives over but near us was trying to do something about the train whistles, and they were saying that in White Rock they don't blow their whistles at night when they go through there, and their concern was how come we can't get them to do that through the Blaine area, especially around the Hughes area, since there's lots of homes and apartments and stuff like that. But apparently in White Rock, they don't blow their horn, or I don't know what crossings they have, but whatever, when they go through the downtown, down along the beach and stuff like that, they don't blow their horns at night. And actually, I don't really ever hear them. And the other thing was that they said the White Rock Council was trying to get them to not blow their horns during the daytime, too, as they're going through there. Concerned about, well, it's a noise issue out. I mean, it doesn't bother me. I've lived there long enough, but it bothers lots of people that live out there because it seems weird that the trains are full blasting their horns when they're going up by Hughes, and yet we have a full crossing guard there. It just seems kind of bizarre. Now, we've heard that they said on the Canadian radio that I was told anyway that it was like the engineer's discretion to do that kind of stuff. And it seems like we should try and figure out how to change their discretion a little bit or ask them to or something. I don't know how that works. I'm sure in the past, I mean, Gary was working on that for one time, but don't know. I'm just bringing it up.
Is there any way the city staff can inquire as to what procedures used in whistling
Your Honor, I'd be more than happy to make the inquiries with Burlington Northern again. It's been some time since we brought that up, and we do have some regular contact with the train folks now. And the last time that it was brought up, you're exactly right, Councilor Hawkins, that we were informed that it was at the discretion of the engineer of the train. It was a safety issue, and that the national standard was that decision couldn't be or abrogated
but
in any way.
But it seems like to me that they're going slow. It isn't like they're going at travel speed, because if they're coming south, they're just barely going 20 miles an hour, 25 miles an hour when they go through, because they don't start speeding up until they get to Chucks. And when they're coming into town, they're decelerating so quick.
And if the information about White Rock is accurate, even though it may be another Canadian country radio standard, you have two communities side by side sharing the same bay. So we'll make that contact and report back to you and let you know what we find out.
Appreciate you.
Good information.
Yeah. Hey, Dennis, you have a...
Well, Bellingham has been paying big money to get a quiet zone, and it has to do with improving the safety at the crossing. And maybe that could be looked at to see what it requires.
We'd looked at that some time ago, about a year or so ago, and based on complaints from the public, and we actually went out and did a decibel monitoring at the intersections. We had some discussions again with Burlington Northern. They were willing to implement those changes to a specific type of quiet zone warning system at the intersections, and it came to about $250,000 per crossing by the time. And that's where we failed. That wasn't an amount that Burlington Northern was willing to front. It was going to have to be the local community that found a means to pay for that. So we can certainly, I think those discussions as well happened before Ms. White Wolf was on staff, and so perhaps with the Public Works Director's involvement, we can take another look at that as well.
Steve?
I'd be happy to do that, especially with the coordination that we did to have that meeting on the rail up here. We've got some strong relationships.
Good.
Might add a question in reference to traffic, because you on the south end of town, where the crossing goes on the Blaine Road.
Yes, sir.
Those people coming off the freeway are coming north on Peace Corridor. Many of the people that want to go straight or turn on to
Bell Road eastbound.
They're stuck in that line. Has there been any consideration, or do we have enough room in the right of way to create a right turn lane or a left turn lane?
I'd have to defer to our traffic engineering folks. My sense is, in terms of physical space, having pulled around that line a few times myself, physically it can be done. Whether or not what we have to do to bring it up to standard, I'm sure I'm sure Ms. Whitewolf's got an answer.
Well, we actually have a project that we want to include in the 2014 budget to address some issues at the intersection, to do some improvements on the north and south side. It's the part of our capital improvement program, and it's just really going to be dependent on whether or not we have enough money to make that happen. There's no grant monies or anything that we have, so it would be entirely local funded.
I had the unfortunate experience of being in that lineup the other night, and I noticed that there were a number of cars that chose to go in the left, and which was in the.
What were
and
you?
So
in?
There were cars coming the other way, and they were in that lane, and.
Correct.
And there was one that was pretty close, but they just get tired of waiting, and so they, instead of going to the right, they'll choose to go out in the other lane.
Should put a left on a hot spot.
And it could get pretty dangerous. I assume that's
totally
a tickable offense.
It is.
But
is there enough right of way there?
No.
Or why is that?
A lot of people go through the gas station.
They used to.
But they can't any longer.
You can't do that anymore. Yeah. No. Got a planner there.
I do think there is enough right of way. It's a state right of way, and it's pretty wide because it used to be the state route or the primary state
route.
Where
that curb is now, the curbing in there is on the right of way.
Yes, sir.
Any other unfinished business or new business? We have an executive session pursuant to RCW 42. Period 30, period 140, foreign brackets. Does anyone know what that is?
I can't quote it, but I know what it is.
Yeah. Okay.
So follow
it. But it's a secret. I can't tell.
It's a secret? We're going into a secret executive session. Does anyone know how long we'll be out?
15 minutes.
Okay, we'll be out approximately 15 minutes. At which time we will return for the council's meeting. So we're going to go into executive session for approximately 15 minutes. You're welcome to. All right.